Your Honor. Ron, I think when you call us back to order, I probably need to make the motion to postpone now because we weren't back in session.
There has been a motion to come out of executive session, but to go back into executive session at the noon hour.
Right.
That was so it would be in order now to have a
right.
motion.
Go ahead. Motion to postpone to a definite time the executive session posted at 10 o'clock. We're going to do a motion to postpone to a definite time at noon.
And I'll second the motion.
Okay.
Motion has been made to postpone to a definite time the executive session until noon. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Danny, aye. Because this is just an aye vote.
It's an aye vote.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carried.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
We're here now back in regular session with Road and Bridge administrative personnel to chat about Road and Bridge issues. Gentlemen, where do we want to start? I had specifically the staff list different roads that definitely we were going to talk about, but I know there's a number of other items as well. You want to start, Randy?
We'll get some smaller items coming out of the way. One of them that was listed on there was Iowa Colony, and I have two more easements that I need you gentlemen to approve. One is a correction because one of his lots was listed in a trust and one was not. So I had to have him sign an additional easement to correct that item. And the other easement was a gentleman that didn't want some trees removed along the roadway on that particular spot, but was willing to give us more additional right-of-way on the other side. So it actually worked out good for us. We was able to straighten a minor curve there, so I have that easement also.
Do those need to be posted to sign, or you just want us to sign them?
Need your motion to approve it. It has to do with our Iowa Colony project. One of them, you've already approved one previous, but I had to make a correction.
Motion to approve, there's two easements, right?
Yes,
two easements. Easements as presented.
With the names? Do you need the names?
Yeah, we need the names.
One is a Joey Grable, and the other is Ed Fisher.
Ed Fisher and Joey Grable?
Joey Grable.
Joey Grable.
I second it.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve easements for Edward Fisher and Joey Grable. As presented, discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries unanimously. Do you want me to sign these now and get them out of the way?
Yeah.
Right here, Randy.
Wait a minute. Here's Joe Grable's.
No, here. What is this?
That is the permit application for the KDOT.
I'm going to give that
access
to you. Then.
That has been sent, so I'll just make you aware that an update on that.
Okay.
This is how it's different. Okay.
You guys had asked at a previous meeting for a list of roads that was affected by flooding on Bull Shoals, and I have those. Do you? What I'd like to do is a good time, I'm going to go around and shoot an actual elevation on all these. We'll have an actual elevation at what point in time, at what lake elevation each one of these will go under. Some of them I have listed, and we know the actual elevation, but there's about 10 of these, I think, on here that I need to get an elevation on, so I can bring you a more updated list.
The when Bull Shoals reaches its potential all-time high, and they suspect that Highway 160 may go underwater on the way towards Kazee Mills, towards Barker Hole, potentially.
Yes.
And that's the case. So the people from the eastern side of the county will come down. Is it the Forsyth?
They'll have to use the Forsyth-Taneyville Road to Skyline Drive, and they'll be able to come out at Shadow Rock Park, but they'll have to go through the Forsyth city limits.
How can they come? Oh, you mean up through?
Come up through Skyline Drive.
Okay, so they're going to come down, and they'll turn left at, I don't think
at
they...
At Skyline Drive.
Oh, okay, at the top.
That's where that intersects with Forsyth-Taneyville. They'll be able to turn there, and they'll come to part of Forsyth city limits section of road, and they'll come off down to Shadow Rock Park at that point.
Because I had originally thought that they would turn right and go down, but the bridge is underwater, right?
No, Swan Creek Bridge? Both of them roads are currently closed because of the flooding. So they're right now they're both underwater, so there's no access
very limited,
there.
Very limited, and we'll have to have sign access. I mean, it'll have to be signed heavily.
Right.
The Forsyth-Taneyville project, which, I mean, it's been, we've used it, but it's almost been an Iowa Colony type situation. We just approve a little bit at a time, and we've got to look at that seriously because of these events. As far as
that's the only, isn't
it? It's the only one. Right. And then from there, they got to go to Christian County,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
come down 65 to get.
They will be able to go double A to Hodge and possibly hit H Highway if. Water level. I mean, there's some creek crossings.
Hodge, you couldn't get if we got a water problem. Hodge has got a water problem in itself.
Then you're going to be going 125 to H Highway. So.
Okay. Where's the Remus Road underwater? Way down or?
It's down there on the core property. Right now, I don't think it's up on the road at this point, but it will be affected if the lake comes on up.
And you saw the latest posting. We got an email last night from Jim Sandberg on the. So, Randy, you know what the height is now, right?
Yeah.
They're projecting.
The height they're projecting right now, if no more rains, they're predicting it to be 694. That still may affect some of these roads yet, so we're monitoring them daily. So,
Randy, there's just one house down there that I know of that's on the Oremus Road that is affected by that.
There used to be one. I think there's
two now, I believe.
And they're talking about building another one.
Going to build another one there in the park.
Okay. Is it the old farmhouse and then another house, or...?
I'm not sure. I didn't drive down there and actually look. Somebody called in to the office Friday. They had an elderly gentleman that was disabled or something, and I advised him that he probably would go on the water if it came to that. Maybe we'll do something about that.
All right. I just have to look. Now, it's a 2-foot elevation you're recommending on it. For how far? Because that's a long stretch.
It's going to actually be about two areas. We went down there and shot an elevation, and if this lake level keeps going up, if it hits 694, it will affect this road. So there'll be a stretch. One of them is going to be kind of a short distance where a culvert and is currently across the road, but then another one where there's a little stream that crosses the road, that area is going to be quite a bit longer.
Yeah.
And
now that's one of them that needs to be talked about. I know we had a core agreement, but when they raise that water 5 feet, I mean, that definitely would be one that would be underwater at this time. You know, this list that you got here, or the concerned list that me and you made up long time ago whenever they started the 5-foot water level. And these are on there, plus about 10 others.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of roads that's, they don't make that list because we don't have to close the road. It affects the end of the roads. A lot of these county roads that dead end at Bull Shoals Lake, it affects where mm-hmm. we have to turn around or at that point is where they affect them, but we're not actually having to close the roads like we are this list.
That's just for our review here?
Yeah.
There's nothing emergency to do?
No.
Okay.
I'd like if we could get this posted on the emergency management website.
Yeah.
Because it has elevations, it's more information. They're updating their website, if that's all right.
I'd like it.
Who has that created? Is that Kathy? She can email it over to me, or can you email it to me?
Yeah, Kathy or Deborah can actually
I'll send
do
it
that one, too. Deborah can email
appreciate
it.
Appreciate you guys putting this together, by the way.
I've got a couple of road issues. This one, we were doing some maintenance work, preliminary work. That is Star Road. We had the issue, and we went and surveyed it. I have some pictures of the survey. Everything that we'd cut on that road was within our right-of-way, according to the survey, so we were fine with it. We just haven't got back to that at this point in time yet because of all of our other flooding issues and work.
Okay. What are you asking for?
That's just for your review. Basically, we've had it surveyed, so we know where our right-of-way is, and we've went back and talked to the gentleman, Harlan and I, and, told him we were going to have it surveyed. We just haven't talked to him after the survey actually got done.
Are you thinking about the chain link fence, moving it, or what?
No, I'm not going to ask him to move the chain link fence. I'm just making him aware that we still need to cut some more limbs off that tree. And then there's other trees and stuff. And we talked with the other homeowner next door to him, and they're fine with what we got to do.
About till now.
Okay. So. Now, we have this issue come up all the time with I know you did down Long Beach with Michelle. We also had this issue here with Johnson on the tree. There's certain places where they, especially when they plant those Bradford pears on the easement line, and they sort of spread out. So, it's going to have to be considered, or whenever we drive by and road and bridge spots one, it should be out, I guess, with the workforce. And they see somebody planting one of those particular type trees that are so close to the line, even though it's not our business to say you can't do that, we're going to have to be informed and say, look, when that thing grows up, we're going to have to cut it off for eyesight, for safety, school buses. You can't tear a mirror off of something. You can't do all these things that are safety issues. You can't have those fall under a litigation action after they get grown. So I would think that we might already educate our road grader people, our snowplow people, and everything to turn in anything that looks like it's going to get to that point.
We're going to have to go into Valley View before long when they're at my baby's where he lives at. They're going to go to side because they're encroaching on the
right. Oh, they close in.
What you got next, Randy?
This next issue is a cattle guard issue, and you asked me to get pictures. You want to take a look at them. There's actually three cattle guards on this road. Two of them are pretty decent shape, made out of metal, and this other one is a concrete one currently.
This is Norwood. Is this Sam?
Yes. That's the first cattle guard you come to. The second one you come to is where it joins with the Sarton property, and then the third one goes back onto Sam Norwin's property. We which that third one's in good shape. It's pretty heavily built. The second one's pretty heavily built, but the approach, we need to do a little work on the approach.
Gentlemen, as you pass them around, look at the...
That's me.
My main concern is the school bus travels across seas and with safety issue, and I've always been a strong advocate of fixing whatever needs to be fixed on school bus routes. And as we go through the cul-de-sac issues that we talked about and all those other things, we prioritize school bus routes. So if you want to give the go-ahead to have him fix these, or this concrete one needs to be taken out.
Need to replace, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's beyond repair,
it
basically.
Is, yeah.
And
yeah, I've got it right here.
Oh, yeah. I've made him.
Yeah, it needs to be replaced.
You guys want to do those? I don't know about the two metal ones. I mean, what are you thinking on those? What's the deal?
At this point in time, the metal ones are fine. I mean, they're stout enough to hold up anything that crosses them. The one just needs a little bit of approach work done, patch right where you go on to the metal one. It makes it...
It's a school bus that goes across it. I'm
fine with it.
Go ahead and fix it.
Let's fix them. Yeah, fix them. Replace that one and fix the other approaches.
That's, I mean, is it all right if we fix it with a... I don't want to go back with the same type that's there. Them just don't hold up.
You mean that concrete?
Put a metal one in there?
Yeah, I want to fix a metal one. I think we can do that and fix it.
Fix it right.
And take care of it.
Can
and
you
that
fabricate?
Way we have,
do we have him fabricated out here? And
that's fine.
That's kind of what we were talking about. I had Harlan look at these also, and that was kind of his thoughts on it.
That's good enough.
That way we... This is also used for drainage at that point. All three of them basically have drainage that go under these, so that needs to be looked at. So
that's fine.
Okay. Most other of what I've got is mainly pictures. You guys can look at these as you want to. It's pictures of some storm damage and different issues we're dealing with. We do have two structures damaged that's going to have quite a bit of work. One that has minor concrete work that's not going to be too bad. Two of them that's going to need extensive concrete or just a redesign. And Harlan and I have had ideas, but this one we need a bridge inspector to look at, and he's going to do that today. I'm going to have him look at it. It's currently on our bridge inspection list, so...
And you've put estimated cost with this and got them to get them to Chris?
All this information already went to Chris, and I included these three structures. With a dollar figure.
Okay.
So he does have that. That was preliminary that they had to send in, and yes, I got that information to him.
Okay, I've got a question with that. You got preliminary work. You've got the bridge there that we can see is tore out. There is some work that needs to be upstream from these locations, and some locations that I know about that I've drove to,
right,
that dollar value needs to be added onto this, because if we rebuild the structure and don't fix the problem that's within 50 feet upstream, we're just looking for the problem to re-exist.
Right.
What do you think about that as far as... Did you allow for that? And
pretty much as we could. I mean, I just estimated a dollar figure. I mean, there's several different ways of repairing this, and we was just looking for the easiest, most cost-effective way to repair it. There's not enough vehicle traffic to warrant putting an actual bridge on this particular one. But there's other, with these other streams, I mean, we've just finished cleaning out a lot of these, and you can't tell we've even been there.
Which
one
are you talking
about, back in?
Where there's not enough traffic. What are you talking about?
This one here. I mean, we're not looking at a high vehicle traffic on two of these structures, but there are some that have quite a bit more traffic, and one particular area, we've already put the rock back in. We haven't done the asphalt or the other fix, but there is upstream issues, and the one I know what you're talking about there, that affects how the water gets to it. The box wasn't even handling its full potential before it went over the road. and took out the lower side of the road in a particular area.
And gentlemen, to the commissioners, I've been to these locations on most of these that they're showing. It doesn't even show. It, you can't even get a visual of what the damage is by just looking at these pictures. The one at Savage, I mean, there's our fill is in the trailer house yard downstream, boulders this big, you know. We had to wait till after the weather dries up before we can do anything there. The Pro Tem Cedar Creek Road, we have discussed a extension and bridge at that location, but that's no different than the Coon Creek location, to where we've also had the top come off of that bridge.
Did Coon Creek get affected, the bridge?
No, not this time.
It basically just plugged up the pipes.
I was hoping it would, so we could build it back right.
Yeah.
Raise it up.
That still needs an improvement done, but yeah. I mean, it for the traffic count.
Well, I mean, it was way up over it.
I heard it.
Yeah. They feed maybe over.
Are these are all roads that we're going to be able to apply through FEMA for assistance because of the flood?
Now, we haven't been declared yet, but they start that next week. The public assistance assessment.
Right.
This particular structure you're looking at was built many years ago. We were tentatively looking at replacing this with a metal culvert, with putting a concrete in and creating a low water slab type structure. It's currently a box, but there's what we see an example of steel. It's got part of a truck crane in it, that type of thing. But the top deck is busted to where we have to close it so we don't let anybody cross it. This one, a school bus does not travel. But
there's the truck crane that's on the one side.
Is that the same?
That's the same one. But this one, we wanted to put like a 4-foot culvert in and then put concrete around it to where the water can't go over it, but it's going to create minimal damage.
Have a spillway.
Make a spillway type.
The only thing that worries me about it is from where I visited these sites and the pictures, if FEMA don't go look at it, the way that I look at these pictures, the damage is so much more than what we have.
Right. Well, hopefully, you know, we'll be able to take them around and show them these sites and different areas.
And I think that's true. They're going to want to go visit these sites, aren't they? Yeah.
Here's another issue we're dealing with, and it's not in the road, it's not a structure, but it's the whole hillside. With the amount of moisture, this is down on a road called Brushy Road. They're still working on this one, removing dirt. It just keeps coming down to the road. It's just the whole hillside with trees standing in it. You can see the cedar trees and saplings. Whole hillside just come down, and the road's what's stopping it, filling in the ditch. And once we get all this loose material hauled away, well, then they're going to stabilize it with big rock, and hopefully that'll hold it further. But it's ground moisture is what's causing this. This is in the very southwest part of the county, and actually there's another one, not as big as this one, but there's another one on Patterson currently it's just ground moisture. There's so much moisture in the dirt that it's sliding down the hill. So
we've been in on several of these projects where we've got the big rocks and all that kind of stuff that we try to fill in. It's very, very costly, and so I'd like for you, Randy, to bring back a review of the total cost to turn it in to the commission.
On everything that we know?
Yeah, all this projects are going to be part of FEMA, but yeah, I mean, if they deem us qualified, and we need to make sure that we know that we've got other little areas that could be threw into the same situation.
And part of that is hard to determine because Bull Shoals, we're pretty sure it's going to be up for quite a while. So some of these roads we're not going to get a look at for quite some time yet to know even how much damage we're going to find when the water recedes there. So
that's just called a roadway, Ron, that actually fell in due to the rain or the spring or something. We fixed Friday before last. We worked until very late that night. Couldn't get four wheel drive through it. Chip and seal road, and it actually takes most of the water come out. They just not water crossing, but it's a spot that's created by this excessive moisture.
And is this where the, you had the lady that was, or somebody that was disabled and you had to get in there? Is that one?
No, I don't believe
not that.
That's on the road down from Main Crossroads down there going to the highway to 160 across that hall.
Okay.
And that one end fell in. Now the other side of it is here, and it actually took the section between them cones. It took that part of the road. It bubbled it all up, so they had to take it out. It's gravel currently.
I just wonder how many more places we're going to have like that. I drove through Coon Creek several times, and it's absolutely going to be busted all to pieces as soon as the weather changes. It's
There's
alligators.
I mean, there's numerous potholes and stuff appearing that it's a lot of this. As soon as we get these heavy rains and that water moisture gets between them layers, it just pops them out, and we're constantly having to go back around and patch.
When FEMA does their inspections, are they also going to inspect the areas that are underwater, and do they only guess about that, or?
When I took them around there in a way, the initial FEMA man was with me, and he said they give a certain amount, period, of it's underwater, but they require a certain amount of damage without ever seeing it, because I asked him. That's what he told me in a way.
Guys, I want to make sure we don't run out of time, and we have a continuation scheduled for Thursday if we need to. So I just make sure, because we got Pat coming back at noon.
Okay.
And there's a few things we just got to talk about in this session to give.
Carol's here. I want to make sure that we discuss plants at
right.
So she can hear
and
that
I think
discussion.
We're looking for.
Why don't we, this other stuff can, what I've got left can wait till Thursday if need be, if you want to get on that. So if you want to move
to Blanton. Well, we still have time to hit stuff, but I'd like, is that all right, Jim? Is that where you were headed?
Yeah, I just want to make sure we just know that we can't, there's no way we can get to this. We've got another session, so don't, I was telling Randy,
okay.
Don't rush through everything, because we do have an extra time set on Thursday at 9 o'clock.
Right.
Okay. All you have to say on the KDOC is you've done what this says, permit has been sent.
Yeah, the KDOC, we have to send in the permit. Great River's done that. This is a copy. I had to go meet with them Thursday, and we've got that sent to them. We just got to wait for them to get that back, and that's going to take a period of time. So
8:30.
Who's the coordinator between FEMA and the county on this project?
Chris.
I'm talking about Chris. I'm talking about from Road and Bridge to Chris. Is there, you
Randy? It'll be Randy.
Yes, it'd be
okay,
me.
Before it was John Ryder. Is that the way I understood
well,
it?
Well, he helped the information these guys had to send to us, and then he pretty much kept all that together and kept the list going, I mean, as far as costs and coordinated with the FEMA.
Between a $20,000 and $30,000 mistake made, I'm trying to avoid that issue this time that took place last time. And so I want to make sure that we have somebody, that, whether it's you, Kathy, whoever, that whenever they calculate all this stuff and put it together.
It's going to basically be a combination of these two gentlemen getting the information to Kathy and myself, and then we'll keep a record of it, and then working with FEMA and Chris to make sure we get everything to them.
These slabs? That we're talking about, you got an estimated cost on them? Or are you doing that in-house or out?
I figure we could do that in-house, both of these structures. And right now, we're still debating what we want to, how we want to fix these. And one of them, I'd like for the bridge inspector to look at to make sure what we do to it, we're not putting something on an old structure. That I want him to look at the substructure first. On this one. The other one's pretty much a given. I think we can fix it easy enough. And I just have to come back to you with the cost, what we think.
I want to make sure the documentation is up to par.
I mean, these guys are they know that being through that other one in 08. I mean, they're pretty well keeping track of this now, so.
Okay, 8:30 is what we've got. We have a block of time available. So
Thursday.
On Thursday. We had blocked it because we thought we were gonna, you're gonna have a long list, so. Let's jump on Blanchet Road.
Are you coming back Wednesday? You going up, coming back? You going up tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Thursday. Yeah, coming back Wednesday, yes, sir.
Let's go ahead and move to Blanchet Road then, and there's, we got some other, but we'll have to use Thursday to finish up.
I'll start with a general statement. I'm aware it's a county road, and I'm aware that, you know, we need to maintain it. Just seems to be some confusion from my perspective of to what level, and to what level are we supposed to spend money on it? Because it seems like off a cartograph, you know, pulling the information off the data space that we use, we spend a large amount of rock on that road because it washes out so often. And so my concern is that we may not be looking at the long-term problem, which is do we look at fixing that road differently because of how much money we have spent according to our systems, and just getting some clear direction on what should the priority be of that road. I mean, you know, right now I think there's at least one or two property owners that use that road to access their property. I don't believe there's any full-time residents on it. Want to maintain it because it's, like I said, it's in the maintenance program. But I really think that I'd just like to understand what we're doing there, because the numbers are scary if the numbers are right. And I know Danny and I had a discussion last year about cartograph numbers may not be right, but if they are, it's a lot of money we've spent.
Personally, I don't think there should be any material hauled in. There's material that is sometime waist deep into the road. Now, sure, I know you have to have clay or some material to put those into that gravel to make the road go in between those. Like years ago, they put two concrete slabs for the tracks, and then they had the fill-in, and that washes out. And after you get up past that point, I mean, there's gravel for 50 to 100 yards that's waist deep up through there that is not, it's not big chunk gravel. It's actually gravel that you could, we pull out and mix with our other stuff that we use to do shoulders and all that kind of thing. So,
well, the materialist that we've spent on Blanchet tells me that we've got to do something different. I mean, we're hundreds and hundreds of ton of material we've hauled in for that road. And I know what, I thought there was plenty of gravel there too, but it is, you know, it's almost to a point where we could probably spent that money, paved the road, or done something different with the whole road because of what we've spent. I just would like to see us looking at maybe that, how we maintain that road differently. Being better use of the money. But we have an obligation. I'm not saying we don't have an obligation to the road.
Years ago, there was a petition that was offered by the individual who was going to develop that property before there was any development there, in an exchange for a road, if you all remember that, up in the center, to exchange for the road so that they would have access from the property lots that they sold down to Creek. And I sat here as clerk and watched the process unfold. I don't know if you, any of you were here. You were here, I know.
I was aware where the road come out into there.
I got a copy of that proposed petition.
Yeah. Well, I think there were three petitions when I was clerk to do away with the road, basically. One was to exchange it.
Right.
And the other two, I think, were to do away with it. And I can remember, as I was taking minutes, the room was completely filled with individuals that had utilized that road for 50 years, which is the reason, I guess, that the petitions were not approved back when
right.
they were trying to vacate it. but it's right on the creek. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's right on the creek. And it's going to wash out every time that there's high water. Right?
Right. We can maintain it on a minimal basis, basically once or twice a year, grade it if we can utilize material that's there and just move it up and down the road. But are we allowed to access that material? We've only got a 30-foot right-of-way is what mapping shows on that. Some of that material we may have to go outside that right-of-way. Are we allowed to do that, or can we?
We have to get permission from that property owner.
Well, there's several lots that go across that road that go right to the center of the creek. That's one of the issues. As long as it's within the right-of-way of the road, we can move it up and down the road.
Is that state statute that 30 feet is all you can use? I don't know that that's state statute.
It's all that's been, I think it's the only thing that's been granted.
Huh.
It'd be nice to see what court cases say and how they define the middle of the creek.
Well, I mean, that's just what shows on mapping. I looked it up for Harlan this morning, and that's what shows a 30-foot roadway. These lots from that other road adjoining, I think that was some of the people that petitioned it previously, all their lots are long, and they go across this road right to the center of the creek, which runs right along the road. The worst area is almost the same elevation as the flow line of the creek right now, just at its normal level. And then when the creek's up, it's probably 10, 15 feet deep. So anything you put there is going to be gone each time you do this. So it's just a constant battle of moved material.
There's just got to be a better way. I mean, like I said, Danny and I we may not agree on the cartograph system, but the numbers are alarming. We've just got to do something different, because when I started seeing these numbers, I was to a point where it's like, let's just take it out of the maintenance program and just do every time we need to work on it, we just order work done.
If the material that I understand, David would know more about this, because I think your side done, because it's on my side of the eastern part of the county, but your side done the work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that material was hauled from this landfill that we had on top of the hill where we filled in V Highway, VV over here, where we've done several road projects, but it's our material. It's already...
Not all the time.
The last time it was, and we have got some out of the roadbed itself where that gravel is, but we've also taken the roadbed down 2 to 3 feet up through there to cover with creek gravel over where the ledges wash out and it gets so rough you can't drive across it. Then there's that section at the upper end that we did last year with some of the rock that we had at the shop that was...
Mm-hmm. Asphalt.
Used material and stuff. And then we, like I say, but every time it rains, it doesn't have to be a flood like this. If that one creek comes up, it takes all the gravel you put, or whether it's base, we used to put base on it and we quit that because of this. But that one ledge rock place is just stripped every time the water comes up. It's all gone.
I mean, this is the separate tonnage that's over and above this.
Well, the immediate thing that needs to be done, there was a tree across the road, and we were informed of that, and as I'm by Harlan let me know that they got the tree cut yesterday. They made such a mess that they're going to have to take a grader in there and at least spread the gravel where I'm trying to think of the two people. One of them is Mr. Dietz, and the other one is Who's the other person that's got the equipment up there?
Bill Guerin.
Bill Guerin. He's got equipment up there on that farm.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big, massive hay field. I mean, if you drove up there to it. Now, that gate, I don't know, was not always accessible. County Road ends there at that slab.
Is that the old Blanchett farm that sits up across the creek? Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that bridge got to be inspected also.
Yeah.
But the
thing that has to be necessarily done now is to either put a grader on it to get it to where he can get his equipment out. I think Harlan told me yesterday or day before yesterday, he had to walk up there to check on his equipment because he couldn't even get through the gravel bed that's in. The upper end of that thing is a gravel collector. No matter how hard the rain is, it washes the gravel in and piles it in the middle of the road. And we just need to take a grader up there and pull it down or do something so that he can get in there to get his hay and all that kind of stuff.
Could we just have an agreement that at for the next while, before there's any work done out, we find out unless there's an emergency out there? I mean, the tree, obviously, it's a county road. We got to clear that tree, and we got to make sure that road's passable. Mm-hmm. Grader's fine. And if we can reuse the material, I'm all for it. But I would just like to understand, before we start doing work out there, that we just know about it.
You're wanting to evaluate the amount of material put on.
I really do.
For what I'm saying is to take place right now, as Mr. Guerin has equipment up there, it's going to be hay season. He cuts hay off there around. I imagine the round bales up there now, but that needs to be
right. And it's a county road, so it's in this program. So I mean, I would think that we need to grade it to make it passable and clear the tree out of the way. But we need you guys to think of a different way to maintain that road, because there's got to be something else different that we can do.
On your plat that you looked at there, is mm-hmm. there a, is the, past the problem area?
Well, this was part of the petition.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
The problem area is up to where there's two actual places where the ledges are so rough you can't cross them. I mean, if you drive 2 miles an hour, it's rough.
It's pretty rough.
The other problem area is where it collects that gravel up there, and that gravel gets, like I said, 4 foot deep there. So there's actually two problem areas. If we can take the gravel that's already existing mm-hmm. in the road, I want you to look, and we can have our attorneys look and see there's a state statute that says that there is a certain width that the county has for roads. I mean, it can be, just because it's a 20-foot road doesn't mean you don't have a 30 or 35 or 40-foot easement.
Did your gentleman say we had 30-foot?
That's just what mapping shows now. But
we can ask Pat.
You know, if we could find a petition, I don't know when they took this.
Randy, was that part of
an old cart road? I'm not sure. I mean, it's been in existence for years, so.
It's up there at that corner where Dan's talking about where it piles up. If we could get off out of those slackers there, it does pile immensely. And if landowners agree where we could get off out of those slackers there, we could get a lot of material there to put back on.
Yeah, all I've got is the petition to move the road. That's all
I have. Do you know who owns
Relocate.
The property? Do you know who owns the property where the gravel piles up?
I don't know. We can look it on GIS or something. I don't know.
We've got closed session again at 12. Can we defer this again until Thursday morning?
Yeah.
So the direction is you're going to make sure passable until we
make a decision on
find out who owns the property and really and then the other thing is no more work unless there's an emergency out there, right?
Right.
Okay. And then you guys are rescheduled for 8:30 on Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Direction clearly is keep it passable with material available, and we'll find out if we can get material for the gravel.
Right.
If we can get that other side material, and also before long, I'd like to take a track and look around the mountain to clear the upper side of that bridge, mm-hmm. just get it so congested that we could haul it down there and actually put another bridge out there. Okay. Just to leave so we'll haul. That'd be a place to put that gravel.
Gentlemen, I apologize, but our attorney is here that we need to meet with.
2 minute recess here. And we're going to call in lunch.
They already called in. They're coming down for money in a second here.
All righty.
See you guys.